Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Say, preacher, we've been in Proverbs 1 many times. Good. We are continuing our study in the book of Proverbs. I'm sorry, folks, I'm hot. And I'm only 51, not 61. All right, as my wife reminded me recently, what we are doing is studying the book of Proverbs. You might think these are all different studies, but it's all about the book of Proverbs. But what you may have caught on to, we're going topic by topic through Proverbs, not verse by verse. Proverbs is too hard to study verse by verse. It's not real exciting doing it that way. To me, if we can bundle it all together, we'll do it that way. But I want to help you tonight, probably for the next two or three Wednesday nights at least, we'll be on this subject. And it's going to sound kind of strange to you, but we're going to talk about hatred in the book of Proverbs. Hatred in the book of Proverbs. Look at verse number 22 in Proverbs chapter 1. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Let's pray. Father, fill me with your power. Fill me with your wisdom tonight. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through me, to teach through me. Your words, not mine, please. In Jesus' name, amen. There is good and bad to most things in life. You know that... Rain is good, but too much of it's a flood. Do you know that fire is good? But if you go out and set the woods on fire in California, it's not good. So there is good and bad to virtually everything in life. God made everything good. Man corrupts good or does good at the wrong time, does good in an excessive amount, and makes it become bad. So there always seems to be good and bad to everything. Proverbs, as you read through Proverbs, you'll find out it'll say, this does this and this does this. There's always a positive and a negative that goes with it. God shows you the positive as well as the negative. He'll show you the reward. He'll show you the curse. He'll show you the blessing. He'll show you the judgment. He'll show you both sides of that, especially here in Proverbs. Many will tell you that a Christian should never hate, and that is a lie. That is a lie. I will say this, a Christian should never hate a person. But there are things, according to the Bible, we are to hate. All right? And hate is a very strong word. Hatred is just not just a distaste or a dislike for something. For instance, I might not like certain foods. There's very few foods I hate. Cooked peas are one of them. Squash is one of those. I don't like pumpkin pie. I don't like any of that stuff. You can like it, but you give me chicken livers and give me beef liver. You give me hearts and all that kind of stuff. I'll eat that all day long. You say, okay, you hate something that I like, and I hate something that you like. We're equal. All right? I like my meat rare. As long as you knock it in the head and run it over a candle, it's about done. All right? I don't mind it that way. It can be a little cold in the middle still. It doesn't bother me. Now, my wife, she likes it like my shoe leather. It's got to be tough, dry, and wore out, all right? Hate is a strong word. It's not just a casual dislike. It's an intense, strong, extreme word. God uses the word hate 22 times in the book of Proverbs. It's used 22 times in the book of Proverbs. All hatred is not bad. If God hates, and by the way, you'll see God hates things. So if God could hate something, how could it be bad? Everybody understand that? See, if it were bad, God would be a sinner and we're all going to hell. So there has to be something about hate that we as Christians need as well. Let me say this. We sinners often misuse something that is right, and it then becomes wrong. We as sinners can misuse something that God intended for this. We use it for this, and it becomes wrong. God intended for the physical relationship between a husband and a wife to stay there. Outside of that, misused, it's wrong. Within the confines of marriage, it is right. Outside of that, it is wrong. So we sinners often misuse the right and it becomes wrong. We must face the fact that we have hatred and there is hatred against us. And the book of Proverbs shows us how to deal with hatred. By the way, I won't use this illustration maybe at all during the next several weeks. But if you watch how the United States press and the liberals hate our president, watch what he's doing. It's amazing how scriptural he's being. And it's no wonder that he's cruising through this thing. So just keep that in mind. Now, Proverbs 1:22, let me just jump right into this. And I've got about 33 minutes to get as far as I can tonight. The Bible says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Now, I must repeat myself. There are really four kinds of people mentioned in Proverbs. You have the simple person. The simple person is the person that doesn't understand right from wrong. They don't easily assimilate right and wrong. Then you have a person who is wise. They know what's right, and they choose to do that which is right. Then you have the scorner. They know what's right, but they challenge what's right when it's not what they want to do. Then you have the fool. They know what's right, they know how to do right, but they choose to do the opposite. So you have the simple, simple being unfolded, unknowing. I could take a child like Wyatt, and I could get him to do something that probably wasn't right because he's just too simple. He'd follow because preacher said it's okay. That's called being simple, led in simplicity. Did you ever meet somebody that was an adult that was real simple? There was a term back in my day, we would call him a simpleton. I don't know if that's a bad term. Good night, anything used anymore could be a bad term. but that meant they didn't think real complicated. They struggled with what's right, what's not. Then you've got somebody who is wise. They know what's right. They understand right, and they choose right. The scorner is always challenging right, especially when it's something they don't want to do. They're the ones that always question the rules before they obey it. They question whether or not they're going to obey. They weigh the consequences. And if they're willing to take their beating for it, they'll take their beating for it. And if not, they'll turn the other way. And then you have the fool. They know what's right, and they point everybody away from it and go their own direction. So God says here, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity?" How long are we going to stay simple to things when it's time to grow up? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Now, I want you to know something. Here's the principle. Fools hate the knowledge of truth. You have to understand something. When God uses the word knowledge, knowledge is in reference to truth. Did you know that real teaching and real knowledge is about truth, not error? Let me show you what I mean. This may surprise some of you. I don't study other religious doctrines. I don't study the Catholic doctrine and the Methodist doctrine and the Episcopalian doctrine and Jehovah's False Witnesses and the Mormons and the Muslim doctrines. I don't read the Quran. I don't read the Latin Vulgate Bibles. I don't read any of those. You say, why? I just need to know the truth. The more you know the truth, the more error reveals itself. When you go to work at a bank, you learn counterfeiting. You learn counterfeiting because they'll give you 1,000 bills to count, and they have one bad one in the middle of it. And they teach you by studying and handling and knowing the real stuff. When something's not real, you pick it up real easy. You see, you learn what is counterfeit by learning what truth is. You don't learn counterfeiting by finding out what all these other churches believe. Somebody will often say, well, preacher, I know this person. They go to this type of church. How do I combat them so that I can try to get the gospel to them? I said, same way you do anybody else. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they're Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter if they're Catholic, doesn't matter what they are. They all need to realize, first of all, they're a sinner and that Jesus Christ paid their sin debt for them. If you can't get that far, you can't go any further with them. It doesn't matter. Well, if I knew what they believed here, I might be... No. That's the devil pulling you away from truth to get you to study error. That's how it works. So studying the truth. Fools know what the truth is. And the Bible says they hate it. A fool hates the truth. Fools want to do things their way, and they don't want to be proven wrong by anybody. They want to be their own God. Young people get this way. You know, high school, college age. You know, I always used to say it this way. If you don't know what to do, ask a college freshman. They can tell you the answers to everything in the world. They know it all. They have this arrogance about them. Well, I have arrived. Yeah, right. They haven't run a hot dog stand yet, and they think they know how to make billions. Fools want to do things their way. I remember this very vividly. Won't tell you where, doesn't matter, but I had been in one of my positions, and I had, in this certain work that I was in, I had many positions, and somebody, they actually hired two people and divided my position. I was going to take a year and teach it to them, and I was still holding on to about a third of it, and gave it to the rest of it to two other fellas. Well, one of them had this bright idea. He wanted to do something. I said, it won't work. And he said, well, how do you know? I said, because I did it and it didn't work. He said, well, I can do it better than you did. I said, no, you can't. I said, because either way, I said, by the way, I was told by my predecessor not to do it and I did it. It didn't work. I said, I'm telling you something, it won't work. They went to the preacher and they said, look. And the preacher had enough wisdom and said, Brother Bush, didn't you try that? Mm-hmm. It didn't work, did it? Mm-mm. He said, son, aren't you going to listen to somebody that knows better than you? He said, I know I can do this. Guess what? It didn't work. He tried it. I wasn't trying to be mean to him. I was trying to save him some hardship. He was young. He was ready to go. He had the answer. Couple times he came and asked me, and I said, you know how to do it, not me. I didn't help him. Say why? I didn't want to contribute to the failure. Then it gets blamed on me. You see, fools want to do things their way, and they hate being proven wrong. The pride of a fool is so strong that they would rather teach or believe a lie than for people to have the truth. Okay. Let me bring it down right where we're at in America right now. The United States educational system is foolish. It hates the knowledge of truth. United States government schools are changing the truth. They have been rewriting history for decades. Why do you think they want to get rid of Civil War history? They want to take down all of the Confederate flags. They want to take down all the Confederate statues. They misteach the Civil War. Folks, the Civil War was not started over slavery. It was a states' rights issue. It was a complex states' rights issue. It was started by the Southern forces firing on a federal fort in Charleston Harbor, Fort Sumter. Fort Sumter was a federal fort, federal military base. President Lincoln either had to enact, it was an act of terrorism. He either had to fight it or he had to resign, because he was to defend the United States of America, even from itself. We have been rewriting history so that the ones who rewrite it can now be the oppressors without the oppressed knowing what happened. We want to get rid of, socialism's not a bad thing now. Socialism is taught throughout our colleges and our high schools as a good thing. Capitalism is bad. Can I tell you why? Because the liberals want to be the next Hitler. They accuse, you always know what your enemy's thinking by how they attack you. When the press and liberals say, well, President Trump's just being like Hitler. You know why? Because that's how they think they are. They're showing you what they would do if they were in position. They're giving up their hand, so to speak. The purpose of history is to learn what did work, what did not work. Don't repeat that which did not work, but repeat that which did work. When President Obama was in office, I was teaching world history and showing high school students the fall of the Roman Empire was being followed by President Obama. What happened 1,500 years ago, we were repeating. And it's the same mess that FDR did with the New Deal. I call it the Raw Deal. Take the New Deal, put it side by side with the Communist Manifesto, and you can't tell them apart. It's the same thing. But we have, and by the way, FDR is the one who allowed the rewriting of history and brought in evolution to the public school system. Just so you know. So we've gotten God out of it. We've taken science out of it. Oh, Mother Earth. We have to recycle everything. If we put a plastic bottle in the trash can, it will never decompose. Guess where the plastic came from to begin with? The ground. Go figure. Now, I'm not for wasting things. I get that. And if something can be reused, reuse it. But can I tell you something? Old Spotty the Owl isn't going to die just because you clean up the woods in California. President Trump took some grief last week, but he was right. He said, we're going to start withholding federal funds from cleaning up from these forest fires in California till they let somebody go in and clean the woods out so we don't have this problem every year. We have so much dead wood and tinder laying in the bottom of our forests because the federal government won't let anybody go in there and clean it out. That's why we have these massive forest fires. Folks, you don't leave dry wood laying around the fireplace and light the fire. One spark and you're done for. Well, we have millions of acres like that all over our country that are just waiting for a spark to hit. And the president was right. California has water taxes and they have problems with drought. Can I tell you why? They won't let them catch the water. There is one water basin for the entire state of California, and the rest of the rainwater that does hit goes right back out into the Pacific Ocean. Every bit of it. And they just want to keep raising everybody's taxes because we got to conserve water. I know, I lived out there for 2 years. You see, fools seek to hurt those who know more than they know and try to tear them down. The Bible says that fools hate knowledge. They hate the knowledge of truth. There's so much I want to say right there. I got to keep going. All right. That's only number one. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Principle number two, fools hate those who are not easy to lead. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what?
Wisdom.
So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. For that they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. Now watch this. A fool despises anybody that will follow wisdom. Brother Barnes, next time, can we turn this down just a hair? It's just a little bit loud. I'm sorry. I catch myself getting a little excited, and I got to pull the microphone down. That'll help me a lot. I got to remember to hold it down here. You might hear my belly growl if it's too loud, all right? But thank you. You have to understand something. A fool will not hang around just a little bit less and we'll be in good shape. A fool will not hang around a wise person. Number one, a wise person won't spend time with a fool. But number two, a fool despises what wisdom? The fear of the Lord. Now, let me show you what I mean. People who know the truth and follow the Lord have wisdom. Thank you, Brother Barnes. That's good. You can come on back out. Fools hate wisdom because it exposes that they are not as good as they think they are. Knowledgeable or wise people don't trust a fool. Don't take this the wrong way. I've been around foolish people. I don't trust them to take my dog for a walk. You say, why? Because a fool will do what they want. Fools can only lead simple and scorning people. They can't lead wise people. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. I have used this before, but I want to show you here. 2 Samuel 15, look at verse number 11. King David had a son whose name was Absalom. Absalom was a fool. Absalom was trying to take over his father's kingdom. Absalom was trying to fight and kill his own father for the throne. And Absalom had led a rebellion against King David. And I want you to look at 2 Samuel 15, verse number 11. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. And they went in their, what's the next word? Simplicity. And they knew not anything. A fool can only lead other fools or simple people and can pull scorners their way sometimes. See, a fool can only lead somebody that doesn't know anything. Here's a fool leading somebody that doesn't know anything. Oh, you can do it once and get away with it. It won't hurt you. Wrong answer. Oh, you can get high once. You won't get addicted. Just one drink. It won't make you drunk. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's a fool leading somebody in their simplicity. Fools, by the way, I already stuck my foot in my mouth about the educational system. Might as well do it again. Education picks on ignorant, simple children. We teach them from kindergarten, first grade. They now teach sex education in many school districts. Foolishness. We teach them that man came from monkey in a big, big explosion. We pick on the simple. Fools pick on the simple to keep them simple. Welfare. Did you ever notice welfare is in the poorest areas and the poorest areas have never improved? for the last 75 years? If it works, how come people don't get off it? Why is it that the liberals want all of the illegal immigrants to be able to vote? Do you know what the problem in Florida, in Georgia, and Arizona are right now with the voting issue? Florida has already proven and thrown out illegal ballots cast by illegal immigrants. And the liberals are saying every vote needs to be counted. Every vote needs, no. Every legal vote needs counted. Let's put the right words to it. Everybody doing okay? You see, education has picked on the ignorant, and we've now propagandized generation after generation. Because originally, a teacher was there to protect somebody and to teach them the truth. But in the 1960s, we kicked God out, and now look what happened. Isn't it amazing? After every school shooting, we took God out, we took prayer out, we took standing for the pledge out, or you don't have to stand. They didn't go to school where I went to school. They didn't have a daddy like I had. But may I say this, we can go through all of that. A school shooting takes place, and you'll see written all over the news, why would God allow something like this to happen? And these are people that don't even believe in God. They are blaming God for man's evil. I gotta hurry. Number three. Lord have mercy, at this rate, we're never gonna get through. Proverbs chapter 5. Y'all get me into preach mode too fast. Proverbs chapter 5, look at verse number 12. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. I'm in chapter 4. Let's try chapter 5. I got halfway through that, and you noticed I kind of stuttered. I knew it wasn't right. Chapter 5, verse 12. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. The word despised and the word hatred are very similar words. People with little restraint hate discipline. People with little restraint hate discipline. Can I tell you something? We are not to hate discipline. We're not always going to like it, but we're not to hate it. Does that make sense to everybody? Everybody likes to eat. But if you eat everything you like all the time, you're going to lack discipline. Sometimes you got to say no. Sometimes you have to say not that much. So cut back from 6 hamburgers to 4. All right? Yeah. You know, yeah. 6 quarter pounders, yeah. The word instruction is the word restraint. Did you know that instruction requires restraint? People who don't restrain their self in many areas hate the pressure of discipline. Well, I just don't like that kind of discipline. Oh, in other words, you have no self-restraint. Maybe I ought to turn my back and teach the schedule. Most people don't have enough love for discipline to restrain themselves and follow a schedule. That's why we can't get people to show up to work on time. Did you know if you left on time, you'd be there on time? It's real simple. If it takes you 20 minutes to get somewhere and you're supposed to be there at the top of the hour, you can't leave at 10 till and get there. It's just real simple math. It works real easy. I'm a pretty scheduled person. I can get a lot done, and I can even rework my schedule. Too many people that don't understand scheduling think, well, I can only do this. No, there's a little bit of freedom in there. But you'll get more done if you have the discipline to schedule. Moving on, finances. Number next. We need restraint in our finances. There's only two ways to get everything that you want. Either you make enough money to buy it, or you quit wanting as much as you want. A wise person once said, you either make more money, or you have less outgo. I told somebody this week, this isn't real Christian, but everybody understands it. You got champagne taste on a beer budget. Some of us have too big a taste for our ability to provide. Our health. Did you know you can only run your body so long before it says, stop? Now, folks, it can run more than 3 or 4 hours a day. All right? And some of us can run them a little longer and a little harder, but they do need to slow down every once in a while. My wife and I were together yesterday on my day off. She said, your mind never stops, does it? I said, nope, it doesn't. It is. We'll be going down the road and we'll talk about something and it'll get quiet for about 10 or 20 seconds. I've already had three more thoughts and I'm thinking on the fourth one and she'll say something. I said, what are you talking about? Well, we were just talking. I said, I've had three or four thoughts since then. I mean, I'm so far past that, it's not even funny. Right past that one. It doesn't slow down. Man, I hit that one pretty good, didn't I, huh? But our health. Did you know there comes a point in time where, fellas, you're supposed to go get your health cared for too? And it's not before you're dying. Right, Brother Harry? You know, we need to watch our health. We need to make sure that we're strong. Well, I'm as strong now as I was 20 years ago. Liar. You expect your wife to fit in her wedding dress, but can you fit in the suit that you wore? Everybody doing all right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Too late. Brother Harry, that jacket I had on is helping Brother Harry with a project this afternoon. Do you know I got that when I was working in Bible college? That jacket's 29 years old, and it still fits. And it fits a little tighter than it used to, but it still fits. I can still wear it, and you can't tell that it's fitting tighter. Before it hung on me, now it just looks like it's supposed to hang there. Thank God it's got buttons in it, amen? Now, wait a minute. But I've had that coat 29 years. I work hard at trying to not get too far out of line here. You know, 10 pounds is a whole lot easier than 50 pounds. Coming off. Going on, 50's easy. Coming off is really hard. You know, morally loose people want the freedom to do wrong and not feel bad about it. The LGBTQ sodomite crowd. The legalized pot crowd. Folks, do you know how stupid that is? And by the way, it's just as stupid to legalize alcohol. The United States government makes more money off of alcohol and tobacco than you can even imagine. They make it off the sale of it. They make it off the health care of it. And they make it off of every time you go out and do something stupid with it, they throw you in jail and fine you for it. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We live in a world where, honestly, I read a poll recently, 45% of all adults, 18 and over, believe it's okay to live together and not be married. Well, shacking up, still shacking up, and it's not right. Good night. The Bible says that we ought to restrain. There are things that I say no to because, not because it's wrong, but it's because they don't need it. I could eat more than I do most of the time, but I'm trying not to get too far out of line. I'm trying to lose about 10 more pounds. I eat a protein bar for breakfast and a cup of coffee. Usually get a handful of nuts and protein bar at lunch, and I drink water all the rest of the day. I'll eat one meal a day. It used to be, man, I'd load up on that meal too. I've even backed off on that because the metabolism slows down. You know, gravity's taking hold. When it hits hard. No problem. All right? Yeah. The fork's no heavier, but when it goes in, it drops real fast. Amen? Can I tell you something? So I purposely don't eat until I'm totally full. I don't eat usually after about 6-7 o'clock at night, hardly ever. You say, why? Because it does my body no good. I don't sleep a lot. I'm not a person that requires a ton of sleep. And we're going to take a see what Proverbs says about sleep in one of our studies. But I'm one of those people that can get by on less sleep than the average person. Some of you could get by with less sleep if your health was better. Everybody doing okay? All right. You know, our president sleeps 3 to 4 hours a day, and that's it. Do you know why people hate him? Because they can't outwork him. They can't. I love it. You know, restraint. We need to learn to restrain ourselves. For instance, hunting season's coming. Now, I'd love to get me a nice big old buck. Brother Larry was telling me yesterday he's got one. It's got a 23-inch spread out where he's hunting. I mean, it's massive. He said, Preacher, it's the biggest buck I've ever seen out in this area. He said, I'm going to get that thing. I said, good. I said, I want you to get it. And he shot some big ones, let me tell you. I'm for that kind of thing. Now, some of you may not like it, but it does improve the quality of what we have around here. They have troubles with animal diseases because they don't hunt it enough. So it's actually increased the amount of deer in our area by hunting them. That's why we have hunting regulations, and I believe in following them. I have the right, if I get a big old buck, mount that thing on top of my truck, put its head right up on top of the cab of my truck and tie him in there and drive through town honking my horn saying, yeah! Do you know there is nothing illegal about doing that? But I would restrain myself from not doing that. Anytime I've killed an animal, I make sure it's lying down in the back of my truck where nobody sees it. I'm not trying to hide it, but I know there are a lot of people that gives hunting a bad name. They shouldn't think that way. Quit being foolish. Just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean you need to do it. So, I can get away with doing that and nobody knows. I have no problem with that. Then I'll hang out in my backyard and watch Miss Marcia cringe a little while. No. Now, wait a minute. Restraint. I don't force it on anybody. Learn some restraint in your health. Learn some restraint with your tongue. The Bible talks about in James that our tongue is a little member, but it guides the whole body. I'll make this statement, and I'll quit for the night. But it was a fairly deep thought. Most of us, when we look in the mirror, we like the person we see. But you never want to hold a conversation with the person you see in the mirror. When's the last time you ever had a real conversation with the person that's in the mirror looking at you? You wouldn't talk as much if you were talking to yourself. Sit down in front of a mirror someday and just have a conversation once. You might find out you're not as wise as you think you are. You'll get so mad at yourself. You don't understand what your facial features look like. You don't understand how forceful it comes across with the intensity in your eyes. You don't understand sometimes, and I mean just sit there and pretend you're fighting with your spouse and do it in the mirror and find out how you look at yourself. It might shock you. You wouldn't like talking to you either. And you wonder why people don't want to talk to you. It's a frightening experience. When I was in college in homiletics, we had to preach a sermon looking in a mirror. That was not fun. Not fun at all. Man, you see so many things that next time you get up to preach, you are really self-conscious. I've gotten past that. But may I say this? You may like the person that you see in the mirror, but you don't like talking to that person. Verbally, out loud, talking. I'm not talking about talking in your head. I'm talking about actually talking like this in the mirror. Don't do it when anybody's around because they'll take you in handcuffs, all right? Put you in one of those little padded rooms, all right? But give you an I love me coat. Believe me. Can I tell you something? God has a lot to say about hatred. Next week we'll start with Proverbs chapter, I think it's 7, chapter 6, what is it here? Proverbs chapter 6, Bible says, these six things as the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. God hates seven things. Not all hatred's bad. Some of it is. We ought to learn what to hate, what not to hate, how to hate, who not to hate, etc., etc., etc. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, how's your hate life? Are you hating the wrong things? Are we being foolish and hating knowledge and truth? Are we hating discipline and restraint? Are we hating the wrong things?